Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
We read before the prayer in 2 Timothy, and by the way, visitors, we won't be here for the next 3 hours, all right? We got another service coming in here, and we're going to get you out real quick, all right? Watch this in 2 Timothy. We read before the prayer in chapter 1, verse 7. Now I want to go into verse number 8. Today we're in part 4 of identifying the controlling spirit, and today would be a subtitle, Intimidation Part 2. Intimidation Part 2. We're going to look at 7 or 8 different ways or things that people use to control other people. And the first reason we want to identify this is to make sure that we're not operating in it, that we're not operating through any of these avenues, especially intimidation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 declares that there is no fear in love, and that perfect love casts out all fear. So God has not called us to lead people we love through the spirit of intimidation or fear. Now, last week, I mentioned there are two types of fears. Number one, there is the fear of conscience. When my conscience is bothering me because I know I've done wrong, you know, I've wronged someone or I've done wrong, that's a healthy fear. That's a good fear. Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, the wicked flee when none pursues. That means I'm running and nobody's chasing me. That means you ask me how I'm doing and I get mad because I'm trying to hide something. Mm-hmm. So that's the fear of conscience. That's a healthy fear. That's a fear that we're supposed to have toward people that have legitimate and honorable authority over our lives. But the second fear is the one we're dealing with. It is the fear of oppression. Oppression is nothing more than illegitimate authority. And if you are oppressed, that means someone has taken illegitimate authority over you. And if you are oppressive, that means you're using illegitimate authority over someone. Real quick, it's important to understand. You can have an honorable position in someone's life and lead them dishonorably, which means God's not called me to lead. For an example, Christy and I and our children, we're not called to lead our children through intimidation or fear. Even though we have an honorable role in their lives as parents, God has not called us to use dishonorable tactics to lead our family. So whether you're a manager or a supervisor or a business owner or a teacher or there's some organization that you lead, these tactics are not ordained by God, one of them being intimidation. Now, we read here in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God's not given us the spirit of fear, because you can't talk about intimidation and not talk about fear, because all intimidation is using fear to control people, using fear to control people. And don't think for a minute that there are not individuals in our world today that aren't using fear to control us. And so when we're sensitive to that, we can see, okay, this is nothing but the enemy. This didn't come from God. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but what God has given me, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, is, say it out loud, power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, say it with some boldness. Power, love, and a sound mind. Now, that comes from God. Now, notice in verse number 8, this is added, has some added context. Because in verse 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Watch this in verse 9, especially young people, watch verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now, I encourage everybody to underline or circle two words in this verse, but I am specifically calling on our young people today. And I know we've got children's ministry going on over at Word Kids, and most of our elementary school age kids are likely over there. But for our youth and young adults, I woke up this morning about 5:30. I was in prayer, and I didn't wake up to pray. I just woke up. I didn't really want to wake up that early, you know. But while I'm up, I might as well make the use of it, right? And so, but I just had heavy on my heart dealing with our students, because I just feel like our society right now, especially through social media, is using bullying tactics to control the destiny of our young people. And I'm just believing by faith today in the name of Jesus that God is raising up a new generation of young men and women that will not be moved by fear. They are going to fulfill the purpose that God has placed on their life. And because God has a purpose for your life and he is going to use your life and you are a purpose with the name, because of that, the enemy is going to use the same tactic that he has used from the Old Testament into the New, and that is fear to control you. But in the name of Jesus today, you will overcome your fear, you will be filled with faith and courage, and you will fulfill the purpose that God has set before you. I have a special conviction today to minister to our student body that is present in this service or watching this live feed. And I want you, and I want all of you to get this. Now, I'm not moving anybody out of this. This is a word that affects all of us. But I just sense a sensitivity toward our youth. And I want you to notice two words in verse number 9. Number one, he has saved us. So underline or circle that, saved us. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And it is by the blood of Jesus that we have a relationship with God. Not because we have it all together, not because we are perfect, not because we have not sinned, not because we have not made mistakes, because his grace showed up and he died for our sins, and it is by his blood that we are redeemed. He has saved us and not we ourselves. But not only has he saved us according to this verse, notice he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And neither our salvation nor our calling is according to our works. Read that statement in between those commas out loud. Not according to our works. My salvation was not by work, and the call of God on my life was not by work, but according to his own purpose and grace. I want you to underline or circle that statement. According to his own purpose. According to his own purpose. Underline that and say it out loud. According to his own purpose. The word accord means harmony with or in agreement with. God said, I've got a purpose that I'm bringing you into an accord with. I have a purpose I want to bring you into alignment with. And God has a purpose for every life in this place and every life under the sound of my voice. One of my favorite things to tell the students of Word of God Academy is, you are a purpose with a name. God has a divine purpose for your life. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a purpose with a name. God not only has saved us, but he has given us a purpose. But notice here what it leads into this statement that addresses our salvation and our purpose. He says, hey, don't be moved by the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but what he has given you is power, love, and a sound mind, because he has saved you and given you a purpose. When I read this in context, what I'm seeing is that the enemy would love to use fear to separate me from my purpose. The enemy would love to use fear to prevent me from walking out my calling. And I want to show you a New Testament example and an Old Testament example of where people of God had a purpose. People of God had an assignment. And the enemy used the spirit of fear to lock them down. The enemy used the spirit of fear to keep them from fulfilling their purpose. But in the name of Jesus today, I don't care what your assignment is that has come from heaven, we will not allow the spirit of fear to hold you captive one more day in your life. In the name of Jesus, we are going to raise up young Davids who are not intimidated by Goliaths, who know the power of God. They don't need the armor of this world. They don't need the weaponry of this world, because they recognize the spirit of the living God, and they know the power of the name of Jesus, and they exercise his name, his word, and his power, just as David did when he went out and faced Goliath. And King Saul said, you're too young to fight this fight. You're too small to fight this fight. But if you choose to fight this fight, you better put on my armor. armor. But David was like, wait a minute, if your armor is so good, why don't you put it on and fight? No, I don't need your armor. I will go out against this giant the same way I went against the lion and the same way I went against the bear. And when the lion came to take my flock, I used the name of the Lord. And when the bear came to take my life, I used the name of the Lord. And David said, one thing I have natural, one natural ability I have is the ability to sling a rock. That's my natural ability. But I recognize that it is nothing, because the one I face is wearing a brass helmet. And what good is a natural rock when the one I'm fighting is wearing a helmet? So I not only take what I naturally have, I add to what I naturally have the name of the Lord. And so I take my rock and I take the name of Jesus. Hey, somebody in here needs to know what you naturally have. And I believe there are some young people here today that have natural gifts and natural abilities that God has given you, but that is not enough. What you need added to your natural ability is the name of the Lord. And by the natural ability that God has given you and by the name of the Lord, you will defeat giants. You will conquer battles that you weren't supposed to win, and you will do it for the glory of King Jesus. But you'll never step into these battlefields when you're gripped by fear. So I want to show that to you in the Old Testament. If you would, go back with me to the book of Exodus, and I want to go to the 13th chapter. Exodus chapter number 13. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Are y'all ready to go into this thing? I know you're in Exodus 13. I'm moving over there quicker than I did at 8 because I got to get all this out in the 20 minutes I have left. But for your notes, I want you to write down Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 forward. Because in Acts chapter 4, God had called his church to take the gospel out, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And as they were taking new territory and stepping into new domains, they carried the gospel in the name of Jesus, and lives were being saved and healed, and Jesus was being glorified. But those that were in authority didn't like what was happening. And so the Bible says they threatened them. They threatened the church that they no longer preach in the name of Jesus. So the church went before the Lord in prayer. And I believe in verse 17 of Acts 4, the church goes before the Lord and they said, Lord, you hear their threatenings, but grant unto us boldness. You hear their threatenings, but grant unto us boldness. And the Bible says in verse number 30 that they assembled themselves and they began to pray. And as they prayed, the place was shaken. And the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. They recognized the reality of fear. They recognized the reality of the bullying and the threats and the intimidations. But instead of retreating and instead of running, they faced the threat with the boldness of the Spirit of God. This is where courage comes in. And I want to encourage somebody today with that word courage. Because when God led the children of Israel, oh my goodness, when God led the children of Israel to take new territory, when he led them to take the promised land, he already told them that the promised land would have seven nations occupying it, and all seven nations were mightier than the children of Israel. But God told them, I will go before you, and I will drive out these nations. I already know they're bigger than you. I already know they outnumber you. I already know this about them. I don't need you to send spies into the land to tell me how big your enemy is. I told you how big your enemy was before you knew how big your enemy was. But what I said to you was is that I would be your forerunner, and I would be your rear guard, and my favor would compass you like a shield, and I would keep you in all my ways, and I would drive out your enemy. You see, church, if we didn't have enemies bigger than us, then when we won those battles, he wouldn't get the glory. God is glorified when you take territory you were never supposed to take. God is glorified when you do things you were never supposed to do by your own power. You were supposed to be the wrong age, the wrong size. You were supposed to be missing certain credentials and in your resume was not supposed to, supposed to look a certain way for you to step into a certain domain. But God wants you to take domains you weren't supposed to take so that he can get the glory for it. If every enemy I faced was my size or smaller, then it would be no marvel that I overcame. But because my enemies are bigger than me, and though my enemies look taller and look bolder and badder and bigger and outnumber me, it's not by might, it's not by power. God's word says that the race is not given because I am fast, neither is the battle given because I am strong. But by time and circumstance, these things happen that we might know that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. If we could pick our own battles, we would pick ones that we could win. But God sets us in battles that only can be won by his spirit, that he might be glorified. Church, we are facing an attack and we are facing a threat like we've never known in our lifetime. But it is not time to retreat. It is time to rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk into our destiny and take domains for the glory of the kingdom of God. This is not time to be afraid. This is time to take courage. Look at your neighbor and say, take courage. So as God called the children of Israel to take the land of promise, and he would raise up this man by the name of Joshua to do it. Joshua's an Old Testament Jesus, and I haven't forgotten, you're in Exodus 13, be with you in a minute. But as you look at this man by the name of Joshua, who is an Old Testament Jesus, his name in Hebrew is Yahshua, the same name as Jesus. It means God saves. And God raises up Joshua to lead the children of Israel over the Jordan into the land of promise. And four times in the first chapter, God tells Joshua, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Say it out loud. Be of good courage. What is courage? Is it the absence of fear? No, it's my response to fear. I don't need courage until fear is present. Don't think just because fear is present in your life that you don't have faith. That's a hyper teaching that's outside of the word of God. There are going to be fears that face us. Otherwise, I wouldn't need courage. Courage is my response in the presence of intimidation. Courage is my response to fear. Courage says my faith will overcome my fear. Courage says light will overcome the darkness, and love will overcome the hate, and wisdom will overcome foolishness, and knowledge will overcome ignorance, and understanding will overcome confusion. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Courage says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Courage says, I won't be intimidated by this bully. They're filled with hate because they don't know love, so I'll buy them lunch, and I'll be good to them, and I'll show them a better way. I'll be light in the darkness, and no darkness can comprehend this light. Oh, glory to God. Are you in Exodus 13? Y'all done stirred me up. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. What does that mean? Fear is bondage. Fear is bondage. And the enemy uses fear to keep us in bondage. Hebrews 2:15 says fear is bondage. Romans 8:15 says fear is bondage. And in both verses, the Bible says Jesus was sent to deliver us from the fear of bondage. God has called us to walk free from the spirit of fear. Is fear a reality? Absolutely. Does fear face us? Yes, but we overcome it. And that's where courage comes in. Now, I want to show you something here in Exodus chapter 13. It's an Old Testament example. And we'll look at it down in verse number 17. Exodus 13, verse 17. Oh, hallelujah. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. So they're out of Egypt. That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near, it had been easy, that was a quick route. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war. God said, I can't lead them the quickest route to my promise because they won't take that route, they'll retreat and go back to bondage. So God said, I got to take them the long way around Because if they see war, notice what he said they would do, verse 17, and they return to Egypt. So what do we find here? Go with me to Numbers 13. We're finding that the enemy will use fear to drive you back into what's familiar, even if what is familiar was your house of bondage. How many people have been delivered from fear? But the fear of that transition, the fear of stepping into a new domain, the fear in stepping into a new role, the fear of stepping into a new job, the fear into stepping into something that God has for you that's in line with your purpose is causing you to retreat back into that thing that you are familiar with, even though that familiarity was in the house of bondage. You weren't able to step into your destiny because of the spirit of fear. All opposition is, all opposition is opposed position. That means when I get ready to take a new position, a new title, a new role, a new assignment, a new school, a new grade, a new class, a new job, when I go to step into a new position, all opposition is opposing that position. You can't think that you're going to fulfill your purpose and the enemy not oppose you. That's what happened to the church in Acts chapter 4. That's what's happening to Israel right here in Exodus 13, is they get ready to take this new position that God had ordained for them. The spirit of fear said, no, you can't take this position. And here's what's amazing about the story of the children of Israel there, is that God physically had them out of bondage, but mentally they were still in it. Listen, we can be physically delivered, but still mentally got a hold on us. In other words, there was a time in your life when you couldn't spend $5 on this, and you weren't able to spend $5 on that thing because you were broke. But your bank account's loaded right now, and you can spend $5 right now. But even though God has prospered you, you're still mentally in bondage. All right, let me go on to somebody. Y'all gonna do me like this? Let me find something to read. I'm gonna give a statement that the Lord put in my heart early on in this series. We make it a habit. It's a bad habit. We need to break it. Of offering present-day protection for past pain. So we try to formulate ways to make sure history never repeats itself. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't learn from our experiences. That's wisdom. I'm not saying we shouldn't gain knowledge from the seasons of life that we've gone through. But if you presently are still living in your history, you're missing out on your destiny. And there's so many people that are plagued with fear that history is going to repeat itself, that they're not living out their present day, which would lead them to decisions that would change their future. But those decisions aren't made because they are still gripped by their past. We cannot let ourselves operate by present-day protection based on a past pain. In other words, you still treating Joe based on what John did. Joe didn't do that. John did it. But you treat Joe like John. Now, if I'm talking to somebody right now that's in a relationship with Joe and you used to be in a relationship with John, now you know you got a word from the Lord today. Because I just brought them names out of the air. And you pray for your husband to get saved. Now, I don't mean to pick on the ladies. Let me turn it around. You pray for your wife to be saved. You pray for your wife to be saved. You pray that she'll come to the Lord. You pray that she'll begin to walk with God. And she does, but yet now this renewed woman of faith, you still treat like the one she was before she accepted Christ. Oh, I'm talking to somebody now. You say, Lord, make her new. Make her new, Jesus. Please just make her new. Oh, Lord, please do a work in my wife. Please do a work in my wife. And he does a work in your wife, and guess what you do? You treat her like the old version. This is wife 2.0, and you treat her like wife 1.0. Y'all hear what I'm saying? All right, watch this in Numbers, chapter number 13. When you get there, say amen. Numbers 13, verse 30. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. I like Caleb. I like Joshua. That's who needs to be our mentors. Caleb and Joshua like, let's go. Let's get this. God told us we could have it. Come on. What y'all waiting on? Let's move. See, they were filled with courage. He said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Read that part out loud. For we are well able to overcome it. Glory to God. I like that right there. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. We can't do it. They're stronger. They're mightier. We can't do it. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. We little old grasshoppers, and they're giants. One of the things that we're going to talk about in this series, and I'm about to give you a preview, but it's coming up in a few weeks, is exaggeration. I'm letting the cat out of the bag early, Brother Jefferson. Exaggeration is a way people use to control other people. And we all guilty. Because you can't say, you know, you tend to do this. No, we have to say, you always bring up your mama. You never tell me you love me. See, always and never are exaggerations. And when we start exaggerating the reality of what's going on, that is a method of control. Y'all wait, that's coming in about 3 weeks, all right? Let's get back to intimidation. But the point right here is that they were using intimidation and fear, the enemy was, and in the minds of these men and women, to not let them take the land. They didn't have the courage to overcome. Intimidation was used to prevent them from taking new territory. And how many of us right now are not stepping in to that new season or that new domain because we're being plagued with the spirit of fear that's telling you, no, you can't have that job, you can't take that place, you can't go to school, you can't walk in this thing, and fear is telling you that this thing's not possible. Now, this spirit called fear can speak to you laying in your bed and nobody's around. You don't need anybody in the room to hear from fear. Can I get a witness? And yet, sometimes that spirit will speak through people. And so often, those individuals that spirit speaks through are individuals that are using fear to keep you under control. And church, it's time to be free. And what we've got to pray for as parents, and what I want to pray for this morning before we close for our students is, our students, our children are a purpose with a name. And I believe that God is raising up a generation that seeks truth and ready to walk in the boldness of truth. And in the name of Jesus, we can't have our children not taking new ground because of some intimidating spirit that's opposing them in their classes or opposing them on social media or their fear of not being popular or their fear of being marked or their fear of being spoken of on in the class or on social media, bullied into being something that they are not. It is time that we break free. It is time that we raise up a generation of people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that will preach the truth of God with boldness and won't let this world intimidate in us into telling us what we can and cannot say. Dear friend of mine, Ben Shetler, who just celebrated his 40th birthday, if you're watching live right now, happy birthday again. Ben, we love you. Told me that he goes to certain locations where he is told up front, don't bring up this. Don't use Genesis. Don't mention this. Church is telling him what not to bring up because it's not politically correct. That leadership of those places have been plagued with the spirit of fear, telling us as preachers that we can't teach a little boy that you are a boy and you'll be a boy until you become a man. That we that don't want us telling a little girl that you are a girl and you'll be a girl until you become a young woman. That you don't get to choose what you are. That is the political correctness that is messed up and perverted and twisted our society. But if the church won't say nothing about it out of fear of being talked about, then we've let fear control us. We've let intimidation stop the truth from being preached that could have made these young people free. And then we get told that's hate speech. It's not hate speech, it's truth speech. And Ephesians tells me that I'm supposed to speak the truth and I'm supposed to speak it in love. And so there is a way that I can tell you the truth and still love you. And love and truth are part of our weaponry. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. And I know I'm talking to everybody, but I want to address our students again. There's something in you young people that this world doesn't have. And Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says that you've received the spirit of Abba, Father. And you don't have to fear. God has placed his spirit in you, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And there is nobody you have to fear. Why? Because the light in you will rid the darkness, and that darkness cannot swallow up your light. And the truth in you will expose deception. And the knowledge in you will expose ignorance. And the wisdom in you will expose foolishness. The love in you will conquer the hate that's in this world. Hallelujah. There are people in this world that hate us. I met a dear gentleman the other day, Friday, at a pastor's fellowship that we hosted here at the school. And just a dear man. Been pastoring and ministry all of his adult life. And he spoke these words to me when he saw me. He's a pastor here. And he said, Pastor, he said, there's some preachers that hate you in this city. And he said, but they only hate you for the truth. He said, they only hate you for the truth. And man, he just spoke over me and encouraged me, and I was so blessed. And he quoted something to me that I don't want to mess up. I got to get the quote right. But and he said this quote came from a man that marched with Dr. King. And this is what he said. And I won't say it like he said it, because somebody will say something, you know, I got to get the quote right. But in essence, this is what he said. Ignorance turns us into tools. Knowledge turns us into weapons. And he said back to me, he said, Word of God Ministries is creating weapons. And man, I'm telling you, when he spoke it over me, I got stirred up. I mean, I said, hey. And then I got to thinking about the word, what the Bible tells me in Psalm 127, that our children are not supposed to be wrenches and screwdrivers. No. The Bible tells me that our children, they're not hammers and handsaws. Our children are not tools for the agenda of the enemy. No, Psalm 127 says our children are like arrows. And what are arrows? They are weapons. And in the name of Jesus, our children are going to rise up and they are going to be weapons for God, weapons for the kingdom of God, spiritual weapons to break down hate and to break down the walls of darkness and deception. We will not raise up children to be tools of the enemy. We will raise them up to be warriors and fighters for the kingdom of God. That's who we're raising up. But you know what the enemy will try? The enemy will try to use fear to turn them back into tools. But no more. I'm tired of being a tool for the enemy. Oh, Oh, glory to God. I will not be a tool for the enemy. And our children will not be tools in the hands of the enemy advancing some twisted agenda. I want to ask our students of all ages. I'm going to ask our students right now. The youngest to the oldest of our students here that are still in whether it's college, high school, middle school, elementary school, if you would just stand. I want our students to stand. You're the future. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Don't you let anybody tell you what you can and cannot do. Don't you let anyone speak destiny over you. Your Father in heaven has a purpose for your life. And it doesn't matter where you came from or what you look like or where you live or what you drove here in or what you slept on last night or what you're wearing right now. It does not define your destiny. And what people have said about you does not define your destiny. You are a weapon for the kingdom of God. You are an instrument of righteousness. You bring light to darkness. You conquer hate with love. You're going to change our culture. You're going to change this city. You're going to change every domain you step into. Fear is going to oppose you. You will be business owners. You will be entrepreneurs. You will be millionaires. You will be ministers and missionaries. You will be teachers and judges. You will be legislators. You will be leaders in our society, civil leaders, political leaders, spiritual leaders. That's who God has called you to be. You are not a pawn of the enemy. You are a child of the Most High God. You are kings and you are daughters of the King. Hallelujah. Don't you let fear stop you. Don't you let naysayers stop you. Don't let your faith and your vision be mocked. If you have a student near you, would you just stretch your hands toward them? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for our students today. Our young men and our young women, our boys and girls. I pray for those that have been bullied. Bullied at school, bullied in their neighborhoods, bullied by cousins, bullied by social media. And I thank you that you have not given them the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I declare greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world, Father, according to your word, that you are their forerunner and you are their rear guard and your favor compasses them. I speak favor over every one of their lives, that you have redeemed their lives from destruction. You keep them in all their ways. You smooth out the rough places. You raise their valleys. You lower their mountains. You make the crooked places straight on their behalf. I declare that they excel in knowledge and in understanding, and by your spirit, they retain knowledge. I declare, Father God, that they are more than conquerors in the name of Jesus, Father God. I give you praise that they advance light and they advance love and they advance truth and they advance wisdom, God, in the name of Jesus, and that everywhere they go in life, they will bring you glory, God. And I declare that the weapon that's been formed against this generation shall not prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we shout about that right now?
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.